It's better for the cycle, your cycle, you know what I'm saying?
It's like what we say about Shavuos night.
And how much kavana will you have at 1 o'clock? How much kavana will you have at 1:30 either? First of all, it's not 1 o'clock, I'm sorry. You're not going to start at 1:20. Well, it shouldn't be. It has to be after Katsos.
So they count when it finishes?
No, Katsos is 1:20. You have to start at 1:20.
Maybe they count when it finishes. Can they do that?
You should start, really should start at 1:20. It means you won't finish till after 2. So that's that.
1:15.
Yeah, but they won't start at
1:00 a.m.
Okay, we can't help you on all of them, shall we? All right. Good evening, gentlemen. We're learning the Rambam Hilchos Yontif Perek Gimel Halacha Yudalit, Chapter 3, Law 14. We're learning about different malachas that are in general permitted to do on Yontif, although not on Shabbos. But there's other issues with these malachas that we have to be careful to enable us to do these malachas. So now we're going to talk about sifting flour. Hakemach, flour. Afalpi shirikdu me'erev yontif. Let's say you already sifted it on erev yontif. Okay. Now let's ask a question. If I sift something on erev yontif, will it make the taste of the flour any worse than if I sift it on yontif? Doesn't make any difference.
I don't know what sifting does for it.
Sifting's supposed to make it more refined. Not clumpy, a little less clumpy.
You're taking moisture out of it.
Let's say the flour you buy in the store, Howard's already been sifted. Yeah. It's been sifted. Right, when you get, you know,
does it have to do with moisture in the thing? You're taking out moisture?
I don't know.
It's just more pieces.
The grain, after it's crushed and pulverized and it's flour, it's not so refined. So this refines a little more. There could be like a little dirt, a little impurities.
I know what it is. It's just it's going through a filter. So I don't really know.
Because there's some dirt, there's some cracked kernels, the face. There's things that are not.
Here's this brand.
You're filtering out some
impurities. Yeah. So okay. The thing is, by the time you get it, Howard, it's been sifted a lot of times.
Right.
But even afterwards, it makes it a little more, puts more air into it, or either. It does something for it. Okay. But anyway, the point is, but if I sift it on Erev Yontif, or I sift it on Yontif, it's not going to make a difference in terms of freshness of the challah.
Right.
We already said, baking on Yontif, it's fresher than an Erev Yontif.
Right.
That's why you're allowed to bake on Yontif. Allowed to do a lot of things on Yontif. But sifting, I can definitely sift on Erev Yontif. It's not going to make a difference.
Right.
So let's say this guy, even though he did sift it on Erev Yontif, and he'd like to sift it another time, make it a little more refined. Ein meraktin osom paim shni b'yontav. You can't sift it another time, yontav, because for whatever reason you want to do it, you obviously feel it's going to make it better. So guess what? You could have sifted it a second time on erev yontav as well.
Yeah.
So why didn't you do it on erev yontav? Ella, but there is one case where you may sift a second time. Elin K nafal asocho tsur okise mukiyosva. Let's say you had this sifted flour once, and then the bag was open. And somebody, the kids were playing around, and guess what? Some rocks got into it.
On Yontif.
Or some chips, some little splinters got into it. Right? So now, when I am going to sift it, what's my intention? Is to make the flour better? No. It's what? To remove the rocks. So that you'd be allowed to do, because that's not really sifting. That is, frankly, that's a borer that's permitted on Yom Tov, because I can't eat flour with rocks in it. You know, that is something, you know, that I couldn't do on Erev Yontif because there were no rocks in it on Erev Yontif. You know, if I knew there were rocks in it on Erev Yontif, then why didn't I do anything about it? That could be a problem. But when Yontif came, I sifted it. I did everything I was supposed to do. I'm ready to eat it. And then I wake up in the morning, I find rocks in it because my kid was playing ball, you know, next to it and smashed a glass face. I don't know. And so now, that you'd be allowed to do, right? I'm sorry? Oh, well, yeah. Ela im ke, yeah. Now, but, still and all, the im shina, but if you do make a shinui for sifting number 2, without the rocks, mutar, then it's allowed.
Or without the rocks, just for if you wanted to say.
Yeah, that. Isn't that what it's saying? That's what I believe. That's what he says.
I didn't interpret it.
No, because it says this is permitted. This is permitted seems to follow these sliver words.
Permitted if you do a shinui.
Because it's ve'im. All right, you want to say it's a continuation of that?
Yeah, because it says unless
this is permitted, however, if one deviates. Okay, good. All right, you're right. Okay, good. So that's good. So that, therefore, we'll look at this. Ve'im, because the way my thing is punctuated would seem to show it differently. Ve'im shina, and so now, when you, since you're allowed to do it, but you still have to do it with a shinui, and what's the shinui? You can go on shirikade me'achori hanapa. You sift it from the back, from the bottom of the sifter. You sift it backwards. Place. I don't know, you know, usually you have the sifter this direction, turn the sifter the other way, so it's more clumsy.
It will work. Usually it's bowed, so you're sort of doing it's harder to do it that way.
It's harder, but it'll get done. Or simply, or shiriket l'gavi shulchan, you sift it, have the flour go on a table instead of into a bowl. Alright? U'kayetze b'shin is there, and similar any type of shin like that. Oh, that's what it's saying. Oh, but, that's right. But if the flour wasn't sifted the day before, it can't be sifted on the yontif. However, the Ramah brings down, but you'd be allowed to let a non-Jew sift the flour in Yontif if the non-Jew does a shinui, if he didn't sift it. Okay.
Well, why, what if you didn't do it on Yontif, but on Erev, would you not be allowed to do it on
Because you're not allowed to do it now. You should have done an Erev Yontif. We only allow you to do malachas on Yontif that you could not do.
No, but we said a pebble fell in. So
we're not talking about, I don't know if we're talking about a pebble now.
If a pebble fell in and I'm sifting it, I needed to do that regardless.
Fine, then that's okay, because you're not doing it for that reason, right? So now you're doing it with a shinui. But what if you didn't sift it at all, and there's no pebbles in it, and you want to sift it?
Okay, so that's a different question.
So then we're saying you can't do that, because that was negligence on your part.
I thought they were just talking about the stuff with the pebble.
No, with the pebble, well, you know, frankly, you'd even be allowed to do it if you didn't sift it, because you just want to get the pebble out. But you still would do a shinui.
I thought it was saying you had to do it with a shinui.
It says unless
because that's when you're allowed to do it. When you're allowed to do it, you should do it with a shinui. If you're not allowed to do it, then you should not allowed to do it.
Allowed to do it with a shinui,
yeah.
If you didn't do any pre-sifting,
if you didn't do anything. If you did, and no pebble fell in, you weren't allowed to sift.
Then you're not allowed to sift through it either. Right. Correct. But when are you allowed to do it? When a pebble goes into it.
Well, I think even if you didn't,
for that matter.
That shouldn't matter.
Frankly, even if you didn't, because let's say you were planning on eating it without it being sifted. I'm happy to not sift the flour. But guess what? There's pebbles in my thing now. Obviously, the guy's got to have to be allowed to sift it. Because you got to get the pebble. It's saying even though you sifted it once before, if you want to sift it again, it's time you want to be more purified, you can't do that. But if a rock fell in, then you could. But that rock fell in, I would think, would apply even if you didn't sift it before, because you were planning to not sift it at all.
The rock was going to fall.
That's right. Next.
Is it usual to require a Gentile to use a shin?
No. Well, I guess for this case.
I thought if a Gentile does it, and they're allowed to do it, then they can do it the normal way.
But he's doing it for you, and you're not allowed to do it.
Yeah, he's doing it for you, and you really shouldn't have been able to do it. But see, the whole thing with this sifting and borer is like, it's kind of an in-between stage of a malacha. Some malachas are clearly, yes, you can do them on Yontif, and some malachas, even though you can, but we're a little stricter, and borer is one of those.
I guess my question is more general. When we're allowed to ask a Gentile to do something, is it ever that we have to tell him don't do it in the normal way?
Usually not, but here they're bringing down the Ramah. You should.
Just imagine
you have to look up the Ramah and see why the Ramah says it. I hear what you're saying.
I hear your question.
We have to see what the Ramah says. Okay, next. Tesvav. Moilin malilos, you can remove grain from its husks with your fingers. Umafarchin kitnias, and you can smash nuts from the shells. Biyontiv on Yontiv, and as a matter of fact, umenapech al yad b'chol kocho, you could blow it really hard while it's in your hand to separate it as well. Okay, you can eat it. That you're allowed to do. You're allowed to do this on Yontiv because that's a case of borer. You're allowed to do it because you want to eat it that way. Vafilu b'kanav atamcha, you could use crude instruments to be able to affect that. Let's say a large plate. Or a crudely fashioned utensil that's wide on one side and narrow on the other side, and you put the beans through it, and you shake it a bit, and it rolls around, and the junk comes off. But it's not a real, what do you call it, a professional utensil for that. Avolah benaf, avolah befar. But you can't use a sifter and a strainer, because that is usually done for large amounts. And we remember, we already said, you don't do things that give the appearance of doing it for large amounts, even if you're not going to do it for a large amount, because you're only allowed to do it for what you need for yontif. If you're using a sifter or a strainer, which usually more for a larger amount, so then it looks like then you're not allowed to do that.
So and the flour, because you're not an okay amount.
Because I guess it's small sifters, as opposed to, let's say, they're big ones, right? V'chein haborer kitnius b'yontif, and so if a person does borer with kitnios, with beans on yontif, borer kedarko, you could do it normally, b'cheko in his lap, u'betamchor on a plate, but you don't do borer with a sifter, a strainer, or a tablet. I don't exactly know how that works, but you can't do it with that either. So again, you can't use it with the machines that suggest much more quantity use. All right, let's just finish these two halachas, then we'll do some of the halachas inside, as time allows, because we have to start our meeting at 8:45, punctually. Right? Assuming the other guys come. They said they're coming. Tezai. B'med, v'amorim, when do we say this? That you do it in the way we told you to do the borer. Remember, we're separating the not good stuff from the good stuff. Right? Which normally you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, but you could do it on Yontif. You're allowed to do borer.
Can you use it in a pot, or
we're talking about taking off the shell and separating it from the...
Taking the batter.
Right. Normally, right.
Like, an imami, where you pull the thing open, you
can eat it. Okay, yes, but there's some, let's say, certain ones where you wouldn't have to separate. You could eat it otherwise, without having to separate it. You're right. Let's say a banana. You could peel a banana. If you can't get to it...
Right.
Right. But let's say you wanted to do you got the shell, and you could eat it, but it's better to get rid of the shell, and so you know, so it's easier to eat it, to separate it, let's say one's not totally encasing it. So it would be certain areas which on Shabbos which would not be allowed, let's say, but on Yom Tov you're allowed to do it. So when do we say that you may remove the bad stuff from the good stuff? Kesha ochel meruv apsos, when the food there's much more quantity of the stuff you want than the stuff that's not good. Okay, as you'll see in a minute, because it's less work. There's a new point we're going to see. That even though you're allowed to do borer on yontif, but not in a way where the way you're doing it is harder than if you could do it in an easier way. Because remember, we don't want to waste your time on yontif working hard separating peas from pods. You know, you're supposed to be, you know, eating is one thing, preparing the meal quickly, but spending a lot of time. So if you're doing borer, why don't you do the borer on yontif in the most efficient way so you don't waste so much time preparing? So when there's more food than waste, so we say get rid of the waste. It'll happen quicker. But what if the waste, there's much more waste than food? And it's going to take longer to remove the waste than to remove the food. Normally on Shabbos, for example, the only borer that's allowed, remember all the conditions, is the food from the waste without a utensil and to eat it right away. That was Shabbos. Yontif, you don't have to do that. Yontif, you can even take the waste from the food, and even if it's not right away. Right? So there's a lot more leniencies. So we're saying, but when do we say you're allowed to remove the waste if there's little waste and a lot of food, because it's not a big bother? But if there's tons of waste and little food, then taking the waste away is a bigger bother than eating it in the way that would have been permitted on Shabbos by just taking the ochel, the food, straight away. So when there's much more waste, he says, boris ha'ochel, then take the food part, umeniach ha'sapsos, and leave the waste behind. But im hoya terech b'briya sapsos mina ochel, yosef terech b'briya sa'ochel mesos. What if, even though there was more... less waste, but taking the, let's say the waste was very hard to remove or hard to negotiate, right? So even though it's less waste, but it would take more time,
right?
So im haya toreach bevreas apsolus min ochel, be more work to separate the psolus from the ochel. Yes, or mitarach bevreas ochel min psolus, more than separating the food from the psolus. Apple pish ochel merubo, even though the food's a lot and the bar is a little and the waste is a little. But the little is going to be so much time to get it off, then boris ha'ochel, separate the ochel, the food which is a lot, because it will be still quicker, umeniach ha'sapsos, and you leave the waste. Bottom line, in any of these scenarios, do it the way that's quickest and easiest. And that's the bottom line.
Right, I thought that second argument is strong in the sense that it's time you're worried about, not...
That's what we're saying. So, so again, what's the chiddush here? Normally on Shabbos, you can only do borer by taking the food and leaving the waste behind. That's the general rule, right? So what did we say in Yom Tov? We relaxed that rule. You can take the, you know, for example, the watermelon, the seeds. Right? You can't pick the seeds out, right? But on Yom Tov, you theoretically, but on Yom Tov, theoretically, you could move the seeds out. That's what you're allowed to do. But now we're throwing in things, yeah, but that's only if it's not going to be so time consuming. If getting rid of the psolas is, if it's easy. But if it's a very long process, then you should do the ochel. In other words, the bottom line is do what will work quickest and easiest, and that's the way you do it on Yom Tov, because we don't want to waste time on this. Okay, next final halacha. Now, some of these scenarios I really don't understand because we don't do it at all nowadays. I don't think anybody filters mustard seed. You know, I'm having trouble relating to the halacha. Yud Zayin, ein misanani as a chardal, but misanani shlo. You can't filter mustard with its special mustard filter. Neshanir kabar, it looks like borer. Now, even though it's not absolutely borer, but because even the psalms is fit to be eaten, but it's a type of borer. And I guess you have to say, well, what's wrong with that? Either you're going to say it's for some long term or a large amount. I don't know. Commentators don't seem to say what's wrong with borer here. Aval, noisning baits of misnana shochara, but you could take a raw egg and mix it with the mustard seed in the filter, and vahu misnana melav, and somehow the chemical reaction with egg, raw eggs, and mustard seed, whatever, extracts the good part of the mustard from the bad part, and by itself it separates. So that would be allowed to be done. Now, another unusual case. Now let's talk about a filter with a bottle of wine. So maybe you'd like to filter some wine. So if the filter was suspended in the air, let's say you happen to have a filter suspended before Yontif, then mutter litin al yayin be Yontif. You could put wine through it on Yontif because you're not doing anything special for it. Right? You're allowed to do it because you want to drink the wine. But you don't suspend the filter on Yom Tov. You don't do it like a weekday activity, again, because there it looks like you're making maybe a little bit of a ohel, like a little bit of a structure, which would not allow to be done. But on the other hand, but you can't make tricks. What can you make a trick? You can say, I'd like to hang up a filter because I want to dry out some pomegranates.
It says you can do that.
You can. You can make a trick.
Why are you allowed to dry a pomegranate
somehow? Well, you just want to, not dry it out. You just want to keep them up there. I need some shelf space.
Use it as a container.
You want to what? Use it as a container. I have to put these pomegranates somewhere. Okay, I'll put this filter up here and it'll hold the pomegranates for an hour or two. Then we're going to do. Then I'm going to take them off. But now I got a strainer up there. Good. So then noisim tachashmarim. Then you could pour the wine and it takes the dregs for you. And that's how you do it. Okay, there's all cases that we don't really do anymore. But let me just go over just a couple quick halachas over here that talks about this. So, I got the right one. This is grinding. Just a couple general rules. So he says, three points. He says, even though most malachas we allow on Yom Tov, the rabbis were a little more stringent for borer, and they say, number one, in certain situations, if the malacha could be accomplished in a permissible or at least in a regular manner, you should do it in that way. Okay? In other words, if you could do it in the regular way and not let's say I can separate it by doing borer or not by doing borer. I can do a halachically correct borer, right? So better do it the correct way. You don't have to come out for that. A. B. If you're allowed to do it when one is permitted in a regular manner, one does so in a way that involves a little bit of tircha. Okay? In other words, the least amount of tircha. Do it in a way that's the least amount of burden. And finally, if it gives the appearance of large quantities at one time, then clearly you're not allowed to do that. Those are the general rules. So, for example, let's say when separating with the least amount of burden. So he says like this. Let's say a case of you have a mixture of nuts and raisins and you only want to eat the nuts. So one should remove the part of the mixture that's the lesser of the two. That's example number one, because that's less
contrary to Shabbos.
Less work. But what if the psoles is the lesser part, but it's very minuscule, making it difficult to remove? For example, a mixture involving a large amount of string beans with a few almond slivers.
Sounds like the Gemara.
So now what would you like to remove? The almond slivers, right? You don't want the almond slivers. But you're going to start trying to get a hold of those almond slivers? It's very hard. If you want to eat the string beans separately, you know, that's the one you wanted. But to remove the slivers, even though it's a little bit of slivers, it'll take me longer to remove the slivers than to just take the many more almond, the beans, the green beans, right? So then you obviously do the other way. Okay. And if it's usually used for large amounts, so therefore, for this reason, they're prohibited in certain instances the use of specialized utensils such as a sifter when it gives this impression that a lot is being done. Now, interesting, although normally on Shabbos when you do borer, it has to be for immediate use and not for later in the day. Yontif, it's not so. It doesn't have to be for immediate use.
That
has to be for Yontif, for that day, right. But it could be many hours in between. Okay, now some of the practical applications they give is, let's say, tea bags, which you can place in hot water in Yontif. That's no problem. More than that, you can hold the tea bag over the cup and allow the drops to strain through. That you'd be allowed to do on Yontif. Tuna fish can be drained of their liquid on Yontif. So you can hold the lid in a way to strain, because you can't open up the tuna fish before Yontif, right? Soup can be poured through a strainer or filter to filter out any pieces you don't want. A platter of cold cuts may divide into different types for use later that day, even though you're doing borer the cold cuts, even for later the day.
Like pasta, you can wash off the starch.
Salad can be removed from a bowl with a perforated spoon where the liquid's not desired, which you don't do on Shabbos, but you could do that in Yontif. Fat that's attached to meat should be separated by removing, but still the old-fashioned like Shabbos, by removing some meat along with the fat or leaving some fat attached to meat. That is the same as Shabbos. And foreign objects in liquid should be removed from a liquid by removing some of the liquid along with it, just like by Shabbos. So some situations you have to treat the same. In other words, if you don't have to do much more, then just do it that way.
So no one's worried about the fact that you learn these laws of Yontif, you might come to do it on Shabbos?
Well, that's why we're telling you to make certain shinuyim and things like that, so you won't make that mistake. Okay, good time to stop. We finished the perek. And next week we talk about fire. So that's going to be very interesting. You know, like, you're not allowed to create a fire, but you can add to a fire. All kinds of interesting halachos. What do you do if you forgot a yahrzeit? And your question with the yahrzeit thing, he's going to talk about. We're going to talk about.
Someone else.
I know it was his question, but you.
Is this about?
Went to York, the yahrzeit camp. Yeah. So we'll talk about it on Monday.
Oh, okay,
come on Monday. You'll see. It's going to be in
a
day.
A 48-hour candle should be enough to take you through life.
Yeah.
Shabbos,
yeah.
Right? Is that the question?
No. You'll see. Come on Monday. You'll see
but
what
but
I mean.
But that was my question. I forgot about it. What happens in
you could do it if it'll last.
And if not, you have to light from the stove or something.
No, just take another one. Light
take another one.
On the second day.
Oh, that's what you do. You just take a 26-hour one.
Take the original one and light it from the can.
I haven't seen 72 hours. I've seen a week-long one, which I think of like Shiva.
Yeah.
I
can use a week-long one. Because
you
can go with
two
24-hour ones.
Did I find?
Really? Okay. All right, so we I think only one more guy is coming. Look at me here, unless you want a different room. Want a different venue. Yes, he was here for Dominic. No? So that's it. So that's an answer. You could just say, did you...